Welcome to TTM Cast, the podcast for the TTM Autograph Collector, sponsored by SportsCardForum.com, the ultimate in sports card trading and discussion. And now, here's our host, Jeff Baker.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of TTM Cast, the podcast for the TTM Autograph Collector. Today is Sunday, May 31st, the last day of May for 2020. My name is Jeff Baker, and I am your host for the program. I'd like to welcome you aboard. If you've never listened to my program before, it is for TTM autograph collectors and sports collectors, and we talk TTM, we talk collecting, we talk sports, we talk to celebrities sometimes. So today we have an interview with Brian Salgado from Salgado Media. He is a TTM collector. We call it Collector's Corner, and we'll get to that at the end of the program. If you need to send any feedback, any questions, concerns about this episode or any episode, please send me an email at ttmcast@yahoo.com. Once again, my email address is ttmcast@yahoo.com. If you're interested in being a future guest on the program, please reach out and let me know. The podcast is found everywhere podcasts are found, including Spotify, Podbean, Google Listen, iTunes, Stitcher. We are on TuneIn. If you have an Alexa device, all you have to do is say, "Alexa, play TTM Cast Podcast," and you'll hear this podcast or any of our old podcasts. We also have a forum on sportscardforum.com, so please check that out. Now on to our first segment. Our first segment is Baker's Dozen. It's just kind of a brain dump of what's been going on. I guess with the coronavirus and everyone still in quarantine, things have calmed down a little. I think that people are still signing and people are still sending stuff out. But with new sports going on, no shows going on, it's been a little more quiet. But there is still eBay if you're looking to purchase stuff. There's all sorts of sellers out there on eBay. I actually got been picking up some old Flair Celtics cards, filling in my needs from some 1980s Flair Celtic cards from the Celtics. So I've been filling those up. Hopefully you guys have been adding to your collection. I actually got a couple of blaster boxes for the 2020 Topps Heritage Series. I got those through, I think, Walmart, and nothing great. No great hits on these two boxes, but filling in my sets, I think I need about 40 cards for the base set. So I think I'm going to start picking those up on eBay and trying to fill my base set in 2020 Topps Heritage. And I got a bunch of cards, doubles now, to send out for TTM, which I'm very happy with. Our next TTM Cast show will be next Sunday, June 7th. I've been really busy interviewing collectors. I actually in former athletes and people in the industry. So I've got four episodes done and recorded by the end of this week. So we will be all set all the way through July 4th. So the month of June is looking good in terms of the show. I've got some interesting interviews for you guys to listen to. A couple other things I'd like to thank. I've been on YouTube with one interview and one mention. So please check out I Break Cards on YouTube. They interviewed me. Ben interviewed me from I Break Cards. Interviewed me last week, and he posted it on Wednesday. So if you want to see an interview of me and you see a little of my office, you can check out I Break Cards, and we recorded an interview, so it's kind of cool. And also, Scott Schulman from Reindeer Studios was on the show last week. If you want to go check out his site on YouTube, he gave a nice shout out. So thank you for that, Scott. So go check out Reindeer Studios on YouTube, and you can see Scott's work, because he is very, very talented. And now on to the Vern Rapp Minute. Vern Rapp Minute is dedicated to Mr. Vern Rapp. I had sent out a TTM request, as you know, to Mr. Vern Rapp after he had passed. So I do this as a service to my fellow collectors so that they don't have the same embarrassment that I did. These are people that had passed in the past week. So with that said, this we lost a couple people. One person in entertainment, a couple people, one in baseball, one in football, and a college basketball coach. So let's run those down quickly for you, just to let you know. So, Rich, we're going to say Eddie Sutton, who was a college basketball coach, really Hall of Fame college basketball coach, in the 80s, 70s and 80s and into the 90s, he passed away. He was 84. Biff Porcaroba, who was a catcher for the Atlanta Braves from 1975 to 1984, passed away. And Ben Williams, who was a defensive end for the Buffalo Bills from 1976 to 1985. He was 65 years old. He passed away. So we lost Ben Williams from former Buffalo Bill, Biff Porcaroba, who was former Atlanta Braves catcher, and Eddie Sutton, who was the college basketball coach. He passed away. He was 84. So my condolences go to all their families. We're sorry for their losses. And now on to returns. As I've been saying the last couple weeks, I've been trying to get out about 10 requests every week, and I've been pretty good at it. I got out some more on Monday or Tuesday of this week. I'm going to do a bunch, I think, today to get a few more out. But been getting the returns been kind of filtering in slowly but surely, and let's just run down through. I got five returns this week, and they come in like about one a day, so not bad. I've got three returns from my 1978 set. I got Sam Ewing, who was basically a pinch hitter and designated hitter for the Toronto Blue Jays. He actually came up with the Chicago White Sox. He signed in pen with his number right kind of on his uniform, and that took, I don't know, less than 2 weeks. I got pitcher Don Carruthers, who was a pitcher for the Minnesota Twins and the Montreal Expos. And he signed a nice blue Sharpie, nice big signature across the card for my 1978 Tops. And that took about a month. And then I got Julio Cruz, who was an infielder for the Seattle Mariners. And I think this might actually be his rookie card. And this light shows him on first base getting ready to run. And he signed a great signature blue Sharpie across the bottom for my 1978 card. So that was three cards for my 1978 set. Get to check off. Also got a couple cards, football cards. I got a Gary Anderson from my 1982 game day set. He's on a nice blue Sharpie with his number right across, and very pleased to get that. That took about, I don't know, 2.5-3 weeks. And then lastly, I got a card back from Neil Lomax. Neil Lomax was a quarterback for the Cardinals, the Phoenix Cardinals, back in the 80s. And this is on his 1989 Topps card. He signed a nice blue Sharpie across the bottom. I was actually flipping through cards a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago, maybe 3 weeks ago now. And I saw that card and I said, oh, that would be a nice card to send. Get off to get signed, sent it off to Neil Lomax. Neil is a great TTMer, and he signed that for me in a couple weeks. So all in all, pretty good returns. As I said, the returns keep trickling in. I sent out 10 at the beginning of last week. I think on Monday, actually, was the holiday, and I sent it out Monday, so went out in first thing in Tuesday's mail. I'm going to do some more tonight, so keeping the faith, keeping going while we're all quarantined here, and haven't gone out much, but still deep into the hobby, so having some fun even during the most difficult times that we've got going on. So with that, let's get on to our next segment, our last segment, which is our interview segment. I interviewed Barrett Brian Salgado, who is lives in Milwaukee. He is a TTM collector. He loves the Cubs. He loves Marquette University. He goes by El Salgado Media on social media, and we really talk TTM, and it's fun to always talk to somebody who has a passion for the hobby. Brian is very into the hobby, very dedicated to the hobby, and hopefully you will enjoy our interview.
This week's interview is brought to you by SportsCardForum.com, the ultimate in sports card trading and discussion.
Joining us on the TTM Cast hotline from his home in Milwaukee is TTM collector Brian Salgado. Brian is on Instagram at El Salgado Media. He is on Twitter at El Salgado Media, and he is on Facebook as well. So, Brian, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
I was very excited when you reached out and you said you were interested to join the show. And I always love to talk to collectors and people that are passionate about what they do. And you and I share a lot of the same background. I have a journalism degree. You have a journalism background.
Okay.
And you got into I got into autographs from a teacher of mine in high school. And why don't you tell us how you kind of got into autographs, you know, back in the day?
It's actually pretty much the same way. Had one of our English teachers. He wasn't my teacher specifically, but he worked at our school, obviously. Andy Gappa made an announcement starting our sophomore year, starting something called the Autograph Club. And just like it sounds, whoever collected autographs at the time, come on down, we'll chat. Simple as that. And I'm pretty sure he pretty much introduced us to the through-the-mail concept. And they say us, there's three basic members, myself and my buddy Mike and my buddy Mark, and we pretty much stuck it out and still do it to this day. So the autograph club started out maybe 10 or 15 people strong and then whittled down to the three of us plus Coach Gappa, as we call him, to this day, 30 years later. And then we get off from there, and we would, you know, we met once a week, and we crank out letters together because he had all the address, you know, sources at the time between Smallings and Meiselman and things like that. And he knew who was signing from way back when, and he was pretty much our sensei for TTMs, if that makes sense. So we would write out the letters, and we'd figure out who's collecting what sets and kind of drop a card here in this request and drop a card in this guy's request. And whenever something came back, we were trading with each other left and right. So, yeah, it was a lot of fun. Led to a lifelong friendship, which is the best part of it.
It's kind of a different time if you look back to 30 years ago, because I started when I was a freshman in high school, and I only did it for a couple of years. I had the same thing. I had somebody that I was one of my history teacher actually got me involved in it. We didn't have a club, okay, but there were three or four of us in this AP history class that we were all into collecting, and we started just doing basically the same thing. But it's a different time than now, don't you think?
It definitely is. I don't want to sound like an old curmudgeon shaking my fist at the hobby, but there are those with a little more competitiveness to it now. And, you know, I found this address, I won't share this address and things like that, where maybe because it was just, you know, we were the only four that we knew of doing this. We kind of shared everything. It was really almost no choice. And then we were more than happy to do it if we had the success and kind of share the goods and share the excitement. So, you know, I still do that. My buddy Mark is definitely, we call him Wiggy. It feels weird to call him Mark, but Wiggy is still heavily, he's still heavily involved in it with this. And we, you know, we go to the Cubs convention every year together, and there's some other in-person events we still get together with, and we'll still contact each other. He's still in Chicago. We'll still contact each other and, A, big successes, or B, you need this guy, I'm about to write to him. So, you know, there's still that continuity in some folks that are still doing it.
Now, was it primarily baseball back then, or because I know you're really into baseball now, were you really into baseball when you started?
Yeah, that's pretty much the mainstay throughout then and now. You know, I would dabble in, like, some basketball, some baseball, and Coach Gaffel was really heavily into hockey, so by osmosis, we finally got some hockey cards in our collection, but he was that driving force. And, you know, sometimes even outside of, like, the main four, like, there were some some Olympians or Olympic cards that came out in the 90s I was sending out every so often, so kind of got into that side of the hobby as well.
Yeah, I actually, when I was a kid, I did a lot of military, World War II.
Okay, yeah, heard of that.
Stuff just because my teacher was a history teacher, and he was really into that, and he kind of got me and a couple other guys really into writing to all these military veterans, the World War II veterans.
Sure.
Really kind of cool.
Okay.
So do you still
have
the stuff from when you were a kid, when you were collecting back then in high school?
Definitely, yeah. In fact, I busted out. I mean, they're still in the same binders. It's not even that I still have it. They're still in the same binders, primarily in the same pages from back then, too.
That's cool.
I haven't gotten rid of much, if anything. It's made countless moves. The card collection has been the mainstay throughout. So,
yep. I've actually grew up in Massachusetts, and I moved to Arizona for a couple of years, and then to Nevada for a couple of years, and then back here. And I've been to a couple different places, and my cards have come everywhere with me everywhere I've been.
Exactly, non-negotiable. They got to make the move.
But it's
precious cargo.
It's usually the first or second thing I pack up. So.
Oh yeah, exactly. And it's one of the few things I have to move myself. But if we have movers or friends and family helping, it's like, wait, I got those. Sorry.
Now, now everyone's the internet's made life a lot easier, I think, than when we were doing this back in the day, so to speak. But I agree with you in terms of competition and players more available back then, even 30 years ago. When, you know, I don't think, you know, card hobby was just starting to take off, I guess, but I don't think there was
right.
much. I don't think they saw that people were selling their stuff as much.
Yeah, that's definitely noticeable. I mean, you know, eBay wasn't even around yet. So, you know, it was a little bit later on. You know, like I said, I was a sophomore in 1995, I believe. So,
yeah, I graduated.
The internet wasn't about to break, so sorry.
It's okay. I graduated in 83, so I'm a little older than you.
Sure. Okay. Right, the internet doesn't take off until, you know, I'm a sophomore in college almost, and even then, we're not really dealing with, I saw this on eBay, and I can't sell, you know, give away my autograph for free anymore if I'm making $5 a pop off of my card. So that didn't really exist. You started to see it creep in a little bit towards the year 2000 or so, but, it was nothing like it is today with, again, that secretiveness of holding on to those addresses like they're gold. It's like, just share the love. Nobody's gonna fault you for it. So,
I know it really is. It's a community. I think there's not a million people collecting autographs or TTMing, and
exactly.
I think it's still small enough. Every once in a while, yeah, I get saddened when somebody kills an address. I know Brett Favre was signing for a little while there earlier last year, and then people just inundated him with too many requests. But I don't think that happens too often.
Right, yeah. People, I feel like the other part of the internet is that people not to try to kind of pace themselves too, right? I mean, I think people are, I don't want to say shouted down in a negative way, but they're kind of told, like, hey, they'll send, you know, 15 cards in one request and try not to bombard everybody at once, you know, so you're just not being a nuisance, let alone, you know, kind of decency. Just don't be a nuisance and ruin it for everybody. So hopefully that's the good side of the hobby reaching the internet. It's like everybody kind of gets it now.
Yeah, I think so too. Now, was there a break in between when did you pretty much carry through since your high school days all the way to today?
Yeah, because I was still going, like, TTMs kind of took a break probably in the middle of about my 20s, you know, 2005 or something like that. So I was out of college, trying to figure out careers, things like that. So it kind of took a backseat. But I was still making it to the Cubs conventions, and I'd go to places that had, like, in-person opportunities. If it's like store openings and things like that. So
yep.
Autograph collecting never completely fell out, but, you know, putting down the letters would every so often.
No, I went to the Red Sox have a convention like the Cubs do. My first one, actually, they called it Winter Fest, and it was such a disappointment. Basically, you got one autograph from one player, and you got to take a picture with another player. You didn't get to choose who you wanted to be with. And basically, they put you in a ballroom, you know, a hotel ballroom with, I don't know, 40 or 50 other people, and then the athlete would just kind of would come in. You didn't have any choice. I actually lucked out because I got Rafael Devers, and I got to take a picture with Leon, but that was it.
I've heard rumors about the Cubs going that route, and there's even been rumblings of them eliminating autographs altogether. And I'm not sure what the point of either of those are, but that's never been really – it's never gotten to that point with the Cubs conventions. I mean, when we start – they do have, for like, the bigger names, just so everybody isn't waiting in line for 3 days. They do have some sort of lottery or raffle, and that's taken evolutions over the years, too. They've had – currently, it's like a pull tab system, and you get a ticket for a certain, like, time and day over the course of the weekend. And based on that, you look in the schedule and they're like, oh, okay, I landed in the Javi Baez line. Or, oh, I landed in the Anthony Rizzo line. They're fantastic, right? So everybody has one shot at those based on how many. That's like a door prize that comes with your program when you walk in. And then after that, everyone else is, you want to wait in this line? Here you go. So it's basically how long you're willing to wait in the line. But, you know, I think I maxed out with about 15 autographs for the weekend. I mean, it doesn't sound like much, but, you know, considering you're waiting, like, and pretty much have to get into the line an hour beforehand, then you have to weave your way through the snakes per player, you know, it adds up. And then sometimes you can hang out in the hotel lobby and get whoever comes through there. Kerry Wood this year for myself. In the past, we landed Jason Hayward. So some big names will walk through there oftentimes, and you can land somebody that way as well.
Now, do you go exclusively cards? Do you do pictures or balls? Or what do you like to get autographed?
I would say it's 90% cards. Between the sets I collect and the convenience factor of storing and things like that, it's 90% cards. And I get so confused sometimes. So I get baseballs, and I put them away for a little while, and I bring them back on. I'm like, all right, who scribbled on this? And it's like, I don't know. Think about that for too long. So, and then, but for like the larger, say if we get one of those like prize winners for the Cubs, right? Well, like a Javi Baez was last year, and my son got to stand in that line. And then this year, his favorite is Rizzo. We won the Rizzo, so we got to stand in line for Rizzo together, and Noah's nice. Just over the moon for that. Then we get, you know, a picture or something larger like that. So.
Now, I know you're collecting the 2014 and 2017 top sets. You started that recently, right?
That's right. Yeah, that was just a way to commemorate the birth of my children, those respective years. My son Noah was born in March of 2014, and then Lydia came along in June 2017. So I just thought, hey, maybe this will be a way to get them into the hobby too, right? So Noah, right now, he goes in and out of baseball cards. I think I'm losing him to Pokemon. It's a little more interactive. What are you going to do?
My son's 24. Lost him to Dragon Ball cards a while ago.
See? Yeah, it's those games. They'll get them. But
yeah,
he still loves the sport. I just think he's more interested in, you know, the fantasy characters right now, which is all good. And Lydia's showing a little interest, too, which is awesome. She actually requested watching The Sandlot for her in that movie the other day. I was like, okay, I couldn't get it on fast enough. So,
oh, you love
that. Always, so, yeah, so she seems interested in cards too, because she'll grab at them when I'm looking around with them. And it's like, okay, here's this junk era wax from 1989. Play with that while I look at these here. So, we'll see how that, we'll see if that sticks.
Now, are you collecting these sets autographed, or are you just trying to complete the sets first?
No, they're autographed. I bought the factory sets for each of them.
Okay.
With the idea of sending them out, and then, you know, at the convention and other in-person opportunities to get them autographed. So,
how's your luck been with you know, the current players? Because most of those guys are still playing.
I'm about 70 for 20. I think I have 70 for 2014 tops and maybe 25 or 30 for 2017. Through the mail, it's been hit or miss. You know, some of the reserves, I'm looking at a Michael Choice right now as I speak with you, Raymond Fuentes. I think those were both. I think Choice was via his home, and I think Fuentes was when he was at the Royals minor league system. So there are a couple guys that came back. Lance Lynn, that was a nice surprise, came back, I believe, from Texas. He was, had a stint there.
Yep.
Just in this month, Sean Burnett, former Pirates phenom, was he came back. So, again, it can be hit or miss. You know, I'm also I'm looking through this binder. I have a lot of blank pages where I just was sending out some Hail Marys, even if, like, Sports Collectors Net had, like, a 0% or, you know, last signature signed 2008, something like that. I thought, well, let's try it because I'm not going to see them anytime soon. And, well, I'm still waiting. So, you know, just like any pleasant part of the hobby, right, you can keep your tunnel focused on, like, the ones that are genuine successes, but eventually you got to try those other guys that are maybe known to not respond, but let's give it a shot, see what happens. Maybe your letter will bring them around.
Now, how many requests do you think you send out on a weekly basis?
I just try to stick to 5 a week.
Okay.
It's like, you know, one per business day, just to stay consistent with it. So if I fall out, I found that if I fall out of, like, cadence, I'll just kind of go not sending them at all for a while because other aspects of life will just fill that time. And then, you know, when I have, like, a free Saturday night, I try to send out, you know, 30 and then just burn myself out. So I feel like one a day or so is a good pace to kind of, you know, find the letter or write the letter, find the address, get out the cards and things like that.
Now, do you handwrite your letters or do you type them?
I do. I handwrite the letters. I had gone to typing, just hearing some people saying, like, no one reads them, the default letters, and they just throw them out anyway and sign your cards, this and that. And I don't quantify it, but I can almost predict that was a zero success rate, because if I got any of them, I'd be shocked. Because that did not go over well at all. I can't remember any of them coming back. So, and, you know, you're in front of the screen all day. It's nice to take a little break and just handwrite something, too. So, you know, for my work as a social media manager, I'd rather, you know, take a step back from the screen and look at pen and paper for a little bit and get something out that way.
Got it. Now, do you ask questions or do you try to have a personal note to them, or what's your approach?
I try to stay personable. You know, sometimes there's this flow, especially with two sets with over almost 1,400 cards in them. Sometimes I just don't know who this is. So for my kids' set, so it's like, hey, I looked up that you were AAA stolen base leader in 1999. How about that? So, and then I'll get into, but I will always get into the set chase just to, you know, to say this is for my kids, like a commemorative gift one day, and hopefully, you know, we can include your signature in this as part of this bigger collection that commemorates their birth. And sometimes I'll even talk about what was happening in their career when my children were born. So, you know, March 2014, you were hoping for a starting spot in the Padres lineup, and you made it. You know, something like that. Or June 2017, you had just come off a 3-for-3 performance. How about that? I was having my first daughter. So just any way to kind of, yeah, just try to make a little personal connection. And hopefully, if it's somebody that's a tough sign, it might turn them around to do something for us.
Now, are these the first sets you've gone after, or are you done the other sets in the past?
I tried 1992 Studio. I got pretty deep into that one. I think 100 out of the 262 or so. But again, since it's such a smaller set, they have a lot of just superstars in there that are almost unattainable. But I've had some people pass away since then. So it's in the back of my mind. Like last year I got Larry Walker for that set, which was awesome.
Yep.
An awesome addition. So every so often I'll revisit. I think I knocked out Brian McCray after way too long at a Cubs convention. So that was way too long to wait on that one. So, so I'll go back and forth. but that was still in progress. Let's call it that.
Now, what's your thoughts on paying for autographs? Some of these guys are looking for monies or donation or whatever they want to call it. What's your thought on paying through the mail?
It depends. You know, of course, there's priorities over others. If there's a set need, I'll bite the bullet. And I'm rather frugal. Like, I paid $10 for two autographs from Jason Grilley recently. And even that was, like, pulling teeth from me. So I was like, oh, come on, Jason Grilley, really? But I'm glad he did it. And to his credit, he threw in a third card autograph that I had not sent along. So, you know, that was awesome to see. And then every so often, if it's an older player, if I find someone in a nice vintage card, usually I'll try and chase down those guys. And sometimes if somebody's asking for $5 from there, I know the salary differential between then and now is so astronomical. You know, if it's $5 or $10 for a card, I really don't hesitate with those guys, especially if it's a good-looking Cubs card that I can add to the collection from that era.
Now, have you you met the gentleman that's from the 1 Million Cubs Project?
I did, yeah. We talk on Twitter a lot, but I actually met him at this year's Cubs convention. He's hard to miss. Bo has his sign everywhere he goes.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay. So I go in and introduce him. I do have about a 500 count box full of cards that's ready for him. So I just, since we're in the same state, though, I feel weird mailing it. It's like, let's just figure out when we can get in between our respective cities and maybe have a beer. Now who knows when that's possible, but that was the thought at least for a while.
True. I had him on the show. It was right before football season because we were actually talking fantasy football at the time. He was a really nice guy. He seems to pop up every once in the now and then. I haven't officially met him. I was hoping to meet him at the National this year, but that looks like it's not happening or it's delayed.
Right, I know. Yeah, so sad, I know.
So now, I think next year's in your neck of the woods. I think next year's Chicago, right?
Right, you know, if you can believe it, I don't think I've been in about since high school, if that. That was when I was actually working for a baseball card store in the Chicago area, and they took me as like a – either that one or the Sun-Times one. I'm not sure which one they were doing, but that's the last time I went to something on a national or at least very regional scale. Because, again, you know, frankly, I just like to keep it frugal. You know, Milwaukee has a couple of hotel ones, had a couple of hotel ones that were going once a month. And, you know, after work on a Saturday morning, I'd rush over and, you know, see what I could see in terms of getting more cards for TTMs and things like that. But I hadn't been to a national. And funny, like, of course, the year I was like, oh, maybe I should finally get to one of those is the year it's being wiped out.
I'm really bummed because they had my ticket. I was all set to go. We had the hotel. It was in Atlantic City.
Oh, boy, yeah.
We could drive there because I'm in the Boston area, so we wouldn't take the play down. The girls were going to play on the beach, and the whole thing fell apart.
Yep, now, it was that. Wow.
Has this pandemic that we're in affected your returns, do you think, or one way or the other?
You know, it's hard to say. Like, the ones I've written recently aren't turning around as quickly as I thought, so there's maybe those, but on the other hand, I was one of the folks that received Kyle Hendricks back after three years or so. I sent that to spring training 2017, and it came back, you know, last week. So who knows? I mean, maybe everyone's just as bored as we are and sitting around opening mail and answering. I mean, that's the biggest surprise I had returned from like a long ago when I mentally written it off, but. You know, I'm seeing, you know, guys like Tommy La Stella answering mail, and I think was it Giancarlo Stanton or Aaron Judge, one of the two, was answering mail suddenly after a long way off too. So, who knows? Fingers crossed.
I know. As you said, you got to try. You can't just stick with the guys that are signing, you know, unquote.
Yeah, exactly. Why not? I mean, there was one from my one of the vintage guys I wrote to, Bob Bailey. He had. This has to be, sometimes I don't even look on sports collectors net just because I'm thinking, well, here's a card, might as well send it to him. But Bob Bailey, I didn't know he hadn't signed any autographs in about 10 years. I just had a couple of vintage ones I found in a garage sale, and I thought, these look cool. He has an address. you know, live. That's important. So let's give it a shot. And, you know, I wrote a nice letter about, you know, the Hawaiian minor league team always intrigues me. So when I see somebody with a background with some time playing in Hawaii or managing his case, I always like, what was that like? You know, Palm Beaches and, you know, just the time zone, everything is so different out there, I assume. And he, not only did he sign the cards, but he wrote back a nice letter saying, yes, we love playing in Hawaii, and our players loved it maybe a little too much. So you never know.
I went to University of Massachusetts, and when I was a junior, I went on exchange to University of Hawaii, of all places. And I got to see a few minor league games when I was there. So it was kind of cool.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah. So it was, I didn't do much studying, but I did have a lot of fun.
Yeah, I can imagine that'd be easy to do.
Well, we're speaking with Brian Salgado. Brian is on Instagram at El Salgado Media. He is on Twitter at El Salgado Media, and he is on Facebook. So Brian is always posting his successes on Instagram. That's how we kind of hooked up, and I recommend you go check in Brian's successes. He's a TTM collector from way back, and we're kind of just talking Cubs and collecting and sets and kind of just talking TTM with somebody that's very passionate. Brian, how did you get, you know, I know that you're originally from Chicago. Is that how you got tied in with the Cubs?
Absolutely, yeah. That was, grew up on the northwest side of the city, and that was the, obviously, north side, south side division there, but we had a straight shot. I lived at, I'm just trying to remember my math here. Wrigley is 1060 West Addison, so I was about 6,000 west. So we had a straight CTA bus shot get down there, and definitely me and my friends would come up and say, we'll take four of your keepers available, please, and sit right along the back fence that I'm not even sure is exposed anymore and watch Sammy Club Dingers as they lost, you know, 10-2.
Yep. Why?
90. So
I made my first pilgrimage, I should say my second pilgrimage to Wrigley last year. I went probably back in the late 90s. I saw the Dodgers and Cubs play, and then I forget who I went to see. I just saw him last year. Just went on a whim and went by myself because no one wanted to go with.
Oh, oh darn. that's not a bad solo road trip. That's awesome.
Yeah. So, well, I was there for work for a trade show, and none of my coworkers have to go watch a game with me on a Saturday, or I think it was Saturday afternoon. They had a Saturday afternoon game, and it was windy as all heck the day we went. But it was, I love the stadium.
Now, the question, though, is was it blowing in or out? That's going to affect your...
I think it was blowing in. I had seats right behind home plate up in the very last row.
Okay.
They were good seats, you know, the overhang roof, but I'm used to that at Fenway Park. It's kind of the same thing. And I wasn't behind I wasn't behind any poles, which was nice. But I didn't really get to...
Yeah.
I walked around outside more than walking around the stadium because I got there a little late and I wanted to get the feeling of the city, you know what I mean? So I didn't...
Sure, exactly.
By the time I went right to my seat and I didn't really get to walk around the stadium as much as I would have liked to, but it's a great place to watch a game.
Right, and gosh, your experiences between the 90s and last year had to be worlds different in terms of what's going on outside the stadium anyway.
Yeah, it was totally different. I mean, I don't know if you've been to Boston at all, but that's kind of how what happened at Fenway. Fenway used to be kind of just streets with a couple bars, and that's about it. And then the Red Sox basically bought everything that's around there, and it's basic, you know, they made it Red Sox Disney World, you know?
Right,
But it's still cool.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, you can't take away the charm of the stadium. I know they're turning the neighborhood into something else, but Wrigley's still there. No one's going to take that away.
No, I know you went to Marquette, and did you go after any like the Dwayne Wade stuff or any of the because Marquette's really a basketball school, right? Not much baseball.
That's right. Yeah, you know, I haven't landed a Dwayne Wade yet. I did have a have a number of the guys from the 77 team, which is pretty awesome. Of course, I didn't get Al, which is just heartbreaking. I didn't get Al McGuire before he passed, unfortunately. But, yeah, so – and I still have some 70s cards here of those guys. I'll pick them up at card stores when I see them. So that need to be sent out ASAP. But, yeah, that's, again, so many other projects you start off and then it's like, oh, yeah, I went to Marquette too. Let me get some of those guys while I'm at it as well.
Now, how do you display your stuff? I know you said you have stuff in binders. Do you have an office where your wife gave you some leeway to put some stuff up? Or?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. You described it perfectly. We have a card closet. So that's where the binders, and cards and things like that are. And then I've got some nice looking displays for some of the baseballs too, and other things like that. We've got a shadow box for the baseballs here. I've got one of the team sets I tried to complete with 1990 tops, because the 89 team is pretty much. The 89 division winning team is pretty much the reason I, fell hard for baseball. And I like being able to like get an autograph in that 90 top and then flip over and read those 89 stats when they came back. So, but I have about 20 of those guys. So I was able to frame those when those baseball card frames you can get from Michaels and Hobby Lobby and places like that. So that's up here as well. There's a pennant from, my first Cubs convention that had everybody sign. So Ernie Banks is on that Cubs pennant. There's some other Randy Hundley, some other big names on that pennant that's hanging somewhere, not hanging right now, but in the card closet waiting to be hanged once I get my act together. And so yeah, plenty of cool ways to display it. That's why I go more for the pictures and things like that. Baseball, I'm just not sure where right now, at least in my setup, but pictures, got a frame, hang it up, and it's on display. So,
now, how far back does your collection go? I know you grew up in the 90s. Do you have stuff, vintage into the 50s and 60s, or is it pretty much just stuff?
Yeah, I have a few cards from those years. Like I said, if I find them affordable enough and I know I can like get a quick turnaround autograph, that's when I'll send those out. I'm just trying to see here the catcher that I just got from the 50s. He's on the 55 tops, but yeah. So someone like that, Jim, one of my favorites from my PTM days when my kids were born. His name Mayer, Jim Meyer. I honestly had not heard of him. Ed Mayer. I had not heard of him until. We took my son to his first game at Wrigley with my in-laws in town from Missouri. Scott and Sherry bought really good seats. and Ed Mayer was the official, he was throwing out the first pitch of that game. And I was like, great, Ed Mayer, I'm going to check down a card right to him, tell him all about my son's first game, his grandparents took all of us and things like that. Thanks so much. And he wrote the nicest letter saying, your son must be the good luck charm. He ended up winning that game. Make sure he comes back for more. Thanks for the letter. And he signed the card. He sent like a little reprint of another autograph card. So it was just nice to hear a ball player talking about my son.
I'm not familiar with. When did he play, in the 50s?
Yeah, the Sheevis card. The card I'm looking at, I believe, is 58 tops. The yellow background there and like the baby bear cub.
Yep.
So, yeah, he's from the 50s. Not too familiar, but pretty awesome turnaround with the letter, too. So those are always nice surprises.
Yeah, but when it's personal, it really means something.
It really does.
Do you have somebody, do you have a white whale that you've been trying to go after, or somebody you really want to add to your collection that you currently don't have?
Harry Carey. And he was so good about signing when he was alive, but I just never got close enough, especially, again, Cubs convention signing for everybody in person. Like, okay, on to another event, sorry. But, that's one. He was just kind of just a narrator of baseball for my youth, right? So it's just really amazing to have something with his inscription, Holy Cow, in the collection. I think that'll be about it. I mean, these sets are kind of the white whales, but I mean, some of them are I think Sammy Sosa, too, as much as he goes through you know, a love-hate relationship with the Cubs fan base oftentimes. But I think it'd be incredible to have something that, even with what we know now, commemorates the 1998 season. I still think that would be pretty awesome.
Does he sign through the mail? I don't recall.
No, I don't think so. I think there was like a little period where stuff was coming back, and then the validity was been in question. So I'm not sure what's coming out of those requests. So I haven't really tried in a while, but I keep an eye peeled for if he does in person appearances, and maybe we if he ever does it, and if we ever want to take a second mortgage out on the house, and maybe I'll go get that.
Well, didn't he have a falling out with the Cubs?
Oh, definitely. I mean, I'm trying to remember his last season, 2004, when they, you know, the year after they were supposed to win it all, and they're on pace to looking really good to at least get to the playoffs and figure it out. He had left the last game of the season, which proved to be meaningless because they lost the game before. He left that game, I think, in the sixth inning, just left the park. And somebody leaked the security tape, because I believe he denied leaving early when the media came back. And I could be all over the place with the story, but I know he left early, and I know that he was called out on it, and I know a security tape leaked showing his car leaving a Cubs parking lot and like a timestamp on it. So that's when the falling out happened.
Okay.
He was traded. Yeah. He was traded shortly after to the Baltimore. Was it actually Rangers?
I think Baltimore.
Baltimore. So that's how that ended. And it's been frosty at best since, which doesn't make sense to me, because that was three ownership regimes ago. You know, none of the people that he, quote, offended, unquote, are still there. So I'm not sure why the Ricketts family would hold someone else's grudges. But
They're sticking with it, yeah. Now, do you have a favorite card or a favorite card that you got back through TTM, or a favorite card that you got autographed? Something that you...
Sure.
You know, not the most valuable one, just the one that means something to you.
Sure. You know, my favorite player is growing up with Sean Dunston.
Yeah.
And once I found out that he's such a great signer, I kind of went nuts with him in the high school. So I ended up having about 9 cards been signed, maybe a picture or two as well, throughout the years. I have another magazine I want to fire off to him, which I have a home address for him. And I'm looking right now at my 96 score, if you remember that card. He is hugging and kissing his son.
Okay.
So I had that one signed in the 90s through the mail. And then at a Cubs convention more recently, Sean Dunston Jr. was in the Cubs organization at the time, and he was signing there. So I brought the card with me, and I said, "Is that you?" He confirmed, yes. I'm like, "Okay, great, can you sign it?" So I've got Sean Dunston Jr. and Sean Sr. on the same card. That was pretty cool. I was a new, I can't remember what year that was, so I know my son wasn't too old. If he was a year or two, it was pretty new. But so, you know, just the idea that, you know, father-son baseball link was pretty cool to me at that time.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
There's a baseball bat that, we didn't get this through the mail, but at the Cubs convention, my dad came into this bat from an old family friend of ours. Here's a homemade bat for your son. And said, "Oh, we can get this autograph." So we saved it for the Cubs conventions, and we got Ernie Banks, Billy Williams, and Ron Santo. We said, "All right, these are the three we're going to get. We're not going to get anyone else on it." So that was pretty cool, because they weren't just the Cubs conventions every year. I think Ron Santo had a restaurant in Illinois that we ended up going to. And that was like a surprise on my birthday that my parents and some other friends of ours got together and pulled off for us. And my parents had not told me they brought the bat. And you could call ahead at that time and see what days Ron Santo would be at the restaurant. So they got all this coordinated and then busted out the bat, like, "Oh, can you sign this one more item?" And that was incredible on its own. So And that's, you know, that's kind of the thing, like you said, when I, like I said, the price of possessions, not so much like their value, but just kind of the stories behind them, the sentimentality. That was really valuable to me, at least.
Yeah, I apologize for interrupting. That's the one thing I have to still get better at. I get all excited and I want to just interject. So I apologize.
Sure.
For stepping on that.
No, no problem.
So, but I wanted to really compliment the way that you approach the hobby and collecting. I think you really, you know, personalizing it and make it a family event, you know, not only for your kids, but for your parents and your in-laws. And I think that really shines through, you know, just talking with you. And I'm sure it sounds like when you send your letters to people, you really strike a nerve because people know, can see that you're in it for the love of the hobby and the love of family, not just trying to make a buck.
Sure, exactly. Yeah, this was never about that. As Coach Gaffney used to say, there's other things I could sell. There's, you know, you don't get this stuff back, though. That's for sure.
No, I know. Well, all right. I'm speaking with Brian Salgado. Brian is on Instagram at El Salgado Media. He is at El Salgado Media on Twitter. He is also on Facebook. Brian, is there any other place, any way people can reach out to you? Are you a trader? Do you trade stuff? Or how can people reach out to you if they want to talk to you?
Sure. Twitter and Instagram. I try and pull off trades there as often as I can. So those are the best ways to reach me. You know, I'm on Facebook for my personal page, but if you find me there, go ahead and shoot off. I just pulled off a trade there this last week, so that always works out nicely, too. Yeah, so I'm easy to find. Just let me know what you need, and hopefully we can swing something.
What are you looking for? What are you, I know you're shooting for 2014, 2017 top sets, but what other cards? You know, is it primarily Cubs cards and Marquette stuff?
Yeah, you pretty much nailed it. Just anything Cubs, I'm always going to take a look at, of course. That's been my weak spot since 1989. The set needs, I'll listen to. My son is really into Bo Jackson right now because he's telling him tales about Bo Jackson. And he's been watching some old YouTube clips and things like that. So he's all about anything Bo Jackson.
Yeah, Bo was a great player. I bumped into him at a show. And he was he was a surly SOB.
Wow. I watched an ESPN documentary, so I've heard that he was on the field. I know how he was with fans, but that's a little disappointing. But, I mean, gosh, Bo Jackson, so what can you say about that, right?
Yeah.
Pretty incredible guy. Anything like that. So, like I said, I'm more surgical in my collecting these days, so I might not have like the newest stuff available. Like I don't go box breaking or anything along those lines, and just kind of, you know, target the card shows and eBay or whatever to kind of surgically pick what I need. But there's still probably deals out there especially if you like vintage commons. I have plenty of those. I'm still looking to wheel and deal too. So.
All right, great. Well, thank you, Brian. I appreciate your time today. It was a pleasure meeting you and talking, collecting, and PTM with you. And it was nice to hear your story and your passion for the hobby.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. It was great talking to you as well.
All right, we'll be in touch. Have a great night.
All right, take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, that wraps up Season 2, Episode 19 of TTM Cast, the podcast for the TTM Autograph Collector. My name is Jeff Baker, and I have been your host for the program. If you want to send an email, comments, questions, or just simply would like to be a future guest on a program, please send an email to me at ttmcast@yahoo.com. Our next episode will be next Sunday, June 7th. We have a kind of cool interview already recorded for that one, so hopefully you'll enjoy that. We'll have a nice big announcement regarding that after during that show. We also have a bunch of future interviews that I've got recorded or scheduled to record this week, including a former American League Rookie of the Year. So hopefully you will tune in for that. I'd like to thank Mr. Brian Salgado for joining us today. Brian was great to talk TTMing with him and learn what all about his TTMs in the hobby and really enjoyed speaking with him. So hopefully you enjoyed our interview. As always, I'd like to thank you, the listener, for hanging in there, and wishing you many happy returns. See you next week.